790 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Brian Clark. More than 500 people have been confirmed dead in Israel as the Hamas attack continues. IDF Colonel Jonathan Conricus tells ABC.
There are still attacks by Hamas terrorists that are trying to approach the fence, trying to get into Israel, trying to swim or to use boats and beach into Israel.
There are over 100 people being held captive by Hamas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said more U.S. assistance could be on the way. There are questions, though, about what Congress could do since there's no Speaker of the House. When it comes to choosing a new Speaker, Republican Ken Buck of Colorado says,
it's better to play out in private where the cameras aren't on and we don't have people trying to get attention over certain issues than it is going out on the floor and having a series of debates.
No winner in the Powerball means the jackpot for Monday will be worth more than $1.5 billion. This is ABC News. The Taliban government in Afghanistan says at least 2,000 people have died in a powerful earthquake that struck the country. A U.S. Navy sailor is among the four people arrested in connection with the disappearance of a mother and her infant daughter in Jamaica.
The U.S. Navy acknowledging the arrest in Jamaica of culinary specialist seaman Leota Bradshaw on kidnapping and conspiracy to commit murder charges. Jamaica's Deputy Commissioner of Police Fitz Bailey.
This investigation has morphed into a very complex case of kidnapping and conspiracy.
Bradshaw and three others were arrested this week in connection to the disappearance of a mother and her 10-month-old daughter, first reported missing on September 9th. In a statement, the U.S. Navy says it's fully cooperating with appropriate investigative and law enforcement authorities. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Simone Biles won her 22nd career gold medal at the World Gymnastics Championship. She's now won three in this year's competition in Belgium, her first event after a two-year break. Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? Hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people. Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bar for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin's population is getting older. The AARP ranks Wisconsin 15th of the nation for long-term care services, but advocates see room for improvement. Mike Moan reports.
Jim Flaherty with AARP Wisconsin agrees the state has done a better job in some areas, such as increasing the number of aging and disability resource centers. But he says there still isn't enough support to help older residents stay in their homes and receiving care in that setting. He warns that the state is going to have a hard time keeping up.
Wisconsin is getting older as a state, and the need for more home health care workers and facility-trained health care workers is only going to increase.
The national report offers recommendations, including some that have been suggested for years, such as providing more financial support to unpaid family caregivers. Officials say policies like tax credits can help reduce cost burdens. States, counties, and cities also are encouraged to develop their own innovative aging plans that can help communities better manage long-term care needs. And while advocates prefer to help older residents remain in their homes, they say nursing homes continue to grapple with staffing shortages. Flaherty says low wages are a big factor.
Wisconsin could really benefit from some additional resources provided by the state to increase the pay for some of the workers in these facilities. You know, the pay is below level of a lot of other jobs that these folks can take.
The report says in Wisconsin, nursing home wages are more than $1.50 an hour lower than other entry-level jobs. Nationally, more than a half of staff in nursing homes leave their jobs within a year. However, the turnover rate is better in Wisconsin. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with, like, the worst ever music in the
world.
What in
the
Danielle,
world?
Did you pick this?
I did pick all four of these. I'm sorry, what ones did you pick?
Led Zeppelin? I mean, that's like... They
what?
Do a concert, you might as well hand out razor blades when people go
in. Oh, lordy.
So depressing. Oh, my gosh.
You're depressing. Come on.
I am not depressing.
That was very depressing to say.
Well, Led Zeppelin. Okay, I'm not going to say they're not talented. I just can't stand them.
I think I may have two intro songs from them.
From Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I hope next time when you're
yawning
gone.
Already.
No. I'm cracking up because we just got our first text of the show, you guys. And said... No. I don't know what that means.
That means they don't want it either.
Oh, no, maybe it's no to you.
No, I think that means no Led Zeppelin, please.
Okay, first,
my gosh.
Let's throw this out there right now.
I was having a good day, too. Now I'm all depressed.
Except for you're still smiling ear to ear. Calm
I'm
down.
Buying us there.
Give us a call at 844-967-2789 to tell us that Joel is wrong and I am right.
Okay.
Or give us new intro song. Who knows?
Hey, can I just tell you that this is the most maddening time of the year for me? You would think it would be complete and total excitement all the time because right now we're in Wisconsin, the greatest state in the country and the greatest nation in the world, right? Duck is open now.
Oh, sure is.
Goose is open now.
Oh, yeah.
Whitetail's open. Turkey's open. Morning dove is open. What am I missing? Coyote.
Small game.
Small game's open. Crow's open.
All the things.
Everything is open. So now
it's so
it literally goes, you go from the end of August. Go ahead.
And cold front's coming. Cold front's right around the corner.
So it is fall.
We are ready to go. Let's rumble.
Yes.
Let's shoot.
You need to get out hunting more, I think.
I'm sorry, 12-hour days.
I know.
6 days a week. Okay, well, 8 hours on Saturday. But yes, I do.
Well, I hope you're making some ching to buy some absolutely... Do we have a caller in there, Anastasia? Who do we got?
We got somebody to tell me that I am right and you're wrong.
Well, what a surprise. They're going to side with you. Anytime you get someone else in the studio, you team up on me. I'm totally used to that by now.
And it is a full
All
studio
All right, who do we
today?
Got? What's their name? Mouth it to me because our computer's
It's someone
down.
You should know. It is one of the Kennedy clan members.
Oh, my gosh. The Kennedy clan.
I'm so excited.
Robin, what's
she
up? I always know when Robin doesn't want to talk to me on the phone because she answers it like, hey, Joe, what's up? So our five loyal listeners in Oconomowoc, the Kennedy clan, who we have turned into outdoors people who eat nothing but wild game now in their family. They buy nothing from the store. They eat only wild game. Robin Kennedy. Robin, what's up?
Okay, Danielle asked, I had to call in and say Led Zeppelin. Is awesome.
Well,
thank
of course you,
Robin.
You like Led Zeppelin. Robin's total leftover hippie. What do you expect? What a surprise.
I'm wearing patchouli too.
Oh my gosh, Robin wears patchouli. It is absolutely the worst. There's nothing worse. When I smell patchouli, I feel like I've eaten dirt the previous 3 days. It is the worst smell I've ever had in my life. You guys are probably like the Doors and the Beatles.
I get compliments all the time.
No, you don't get compliments on patchouli.
I was in Quick Trip, and some dude was standing in front of me. He turned around. He's like, "Are you wearing patchouli?" I'm like, "Oh, it's not the breakfast sandwich."
That's icky on all fronts. Are you wearing patchouli? What, are you guys gonna go off to Burning Man together? I mean, gosh, forget about it. Patchouli.
Oh, Robin, I love you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Robin. Thanks for listening. Five loyal listeners. The Kennedy, that's our. You know, she's like my boss, right?
You know, she's like one of my greatest friends.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's amazing.
And the work that Robin does for the disabled community is unrivaled. Her heart and soul is in it. And I want to mention that I'm really excited because next week, Marty, our first ever guest who literally bid on coming on the show, like won an auction to come on the show. Anastasia's
really
laughing.
People pay for this? Anastasia, why are you laughing?
This is a highly desired content, Anastasia.
It's all Led Zeppelin.
This is highly desired content. Marty's coming on the show, and because of what Marty did, people with disabilities in the state of Wisconsin are going to be better off. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's something that is very important to us. And we talk about the Outdoor Adventure Series from the A-Team, getting folks with disabilities into the outdoors, enjoying the great resources of the state of Wisconsin. So we're really excited. You'll have to listen next week. Yes. Marty's coming on the show. Going to talk about some great things.
Ooh, maybe Robin can come too.
Maybe. No, I don't need you guys filling me with depressing music the whole time. No, thanks. Like, what's next? Like, you're going to start playing, like, what's that?
What? The ukulele?
Megadeth or Cannibal Corpse? Is that coming next?
I don't know what that is.
I bet Kretschmer likes Cannibal Corpse.
I have no idea.
Guys, we have a studio that is jackpacked right now with, like,
including your mom
and my mom. My mom's becoming like a regular.
Hi, mom.
She doesn't even come in the studio. Do you want to go on the radio, mom? She says she just motioned no.
No.
Why? It's not like every other aspect of my life you're perfectly suited to tell me about. Now you don't want to come on the radio. I'm going to tell you something. When you are the son of an Italian mother, and when you're the son of an Italian mother, your entire life, it does not matter what age you are. They will still tell you what is right, wrong, and indifferent. And they will tell you how you're supposed to do things and what they think should be portraying yourself. Like, I still can't screw up in my life because I'm afraid, like, my mom will be on my stuff.
She will be.
I didn't use one of the seven words, Anastasia. But she is a living saint. And everything that I do as far as cooking in the outdoors is owed to my mother. And I swear I absorbed it through osmosis, just watching her do it through my life.
Your mom's pretty spectacular.
She is one awesome lady. I could do without, like now I'm like 52. And I think she thinks like when she's not around, I'm like an amoeba, like shuddering in the corner on the ground, like drooling.
What am I supposed to do?
I said, Mom, I function when you're not here. It's okay. She's like, stop. I can see her mouthing out there. Stop it. I do not do that. I love you, Mom. Thank you for coming to listen to the show from the lobby. That's probably why she doesn't want to get in here on the hot seat. But I'm telling you, it is absolutely insane, Danielle, in Wisconsin. The weather's been so warm.
Yeah,
and
it's disgusting.
It's been too warm because us hunters, we like a little cooler weather.
Mm-hmm. But standing out there in the waders, just sweating.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I have not really, I mean, I shot a duck yesterday, a wood duck, finally. I shot a duck, but I haven't really had a lot of success. But I'll tell you, the goose hunting's been insane. Ian Kittrell from Ian, he's in my phone as Ian Wisco Waterfowl, because the first time I ever met him, Ian had Wisco Waterfowl on Instagram. And so that's like, I didn't know his last name at the time, so I just put him in as Ian Wisco Waterfowl, and it's still in there. Ian, you and I have been like absolutely smashing the birds this year.
It's been a great year. Lots of birds, lots of laughs, lots of memories.
I mean, Ian and I have kind of come around a little bit to kind of smaller group hunting, like not 10, 15 people in the field. And I really like that much better.
Yes, it is so much better. It's more personal. It's a lot more fun. It's not really competitive as to when you have so many people. Because I just feel like I don't want to sit up and shoot. Like everyone else is going to shoot.
So I'm going to, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I'm going to give a shout out right next to the Fishbowl, downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Swing by, say hey. I am told, I'm told that the great John Woody Whitmore is going to call in the show today. A legend, Woody? A legend in his own mind.
Everybody knows in his own mind.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. So I am told he's calling in. Whether he follows through on that is yet to be seen.
Oh, we could always call him.
Well, you know, we probably could call him. No, Anastasia's like, no, we can't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, we could call him on our phone and just, you know,
John Whitmore, he has looked like he's 65 from the time he was 15 years old. Now, the good news is
he hasn't aged
since then. So he still looks like he's 65, and now he's like 46. So
he is a heck of a shot.
Oh, my gosh. I give him the baloney. But John Whitmore, I'm not joking. This guy's got 2 1-gallon bags full of bird bands.
Jeez.
This guy is an absolutely prolific hunter with luck like I've never seen, and not even probably the best shotgunner, wing shooter I have ever seen in my life.
What gun does he use?
He shoots a variety of guns. Everything from Browning's to Benelli's.
I am now in the market for a new gun, so.
Well, I can talk to you about that. I've got my own personal opinions.
My Browning Maxis is.
It's done dancing.
It's pissing me off. Ian's got
something to say about
this. I just want to throw my gun at the bird.
Real quick, before Ian talks, I just want to tell you, Ian's girlfriend, Paige.
Hi, Paige.
Hi, Paige. You can wave. Paige doesn't want to talk on the radio, so she can wave. She is in studio with us. Ian and Paige and I just ate at Eric's Porterhouse, and that food.
Love that place.
Oh, I love that place. It's got like the supper club. My mom and dad used to take me there when I was a little kid, it was called the Legion, wasn't it, Mom? Right next door? The Legion. It's Eric's Porterhouse now. What was it called? She doesn't remember. Yeah, it was the Legion. But we just had dinner there. Ian, so now I would like to turn this show into maybe like an advice column or a relationship show. How's it going with Paige? You guys have been dating for a while?
I am on the hot seat now. I was expecting to come here and talk about goose hunting, maybe some fishing.
You should know better than that, Ian.
I mean, I like my puns, so let's reel it back a little.
Oh, dear Lord.
That's pretty good. Kretschmer's even laughing, and he's tough to get to laugh sometimes. It was lovely meeting Paige the other day. We had a fantastic dinner, so thank you guys for dropping in.
Thank you.
I hope you hang out
a little
bit.
Thanks for the invite.
Okay. Wait 1 second. What happened the last time I invited you to go to Eric's Porterhouse?
Last time I was broke and I had no money.
You bailed at the last second.
Because I had no money. I'm still an apprentice, man. But now I've been working 12-hour days.
And now you're flush with Ching, so you could come. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh.
Ian, I thought that we would really have kind of a slow go with the birds, but with the heat, but it hasn't stopped. They've been crazy.
And it's only getting better.
It's only getting better, and so is the show, because we've got
Led Zeppelin's
Colt
on.
Christofferson with his mega deer and bear and the legendary Mike Kretschmer. When we come back on Raised in Wisco.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
It's
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Like, Welcome to the Jungle by
I
the great
chose
Guns N' Roses.
This song.
What's up, folks? You're listening to Raised in Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting across from the...
Continue, please.
I was going to say the not great music picking until you picked
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
I'll just wait to my third choice.
You cannot go wrong with Guns N' Roses ever because they rule the universe.
Oh, do they?
Well, they are... for sure, one of the greatest things to come out of the 80s. There's no doubt about that.
I'm
getting
nods
across the studio. listen, if you, one of the first people I ever hunted with in my life was John Whitmore, who may or may not call in because he's a flake sometimes. So he may not call in. I don't know if he's going to. Or he's busy. Hey,
yeah,
let's
sure.
not make excuses for him, Kretschmer. Well, Kretschmer clearly wants to talk, and I wanted to talk because one of the first people who ever took me hunting in my life was Mike Kretschmer. Now, Kretschmer does not look as old as he is. You still look young. You got that baby face.
The baby face.
You have become old. Ooh, yeah, don't take your hat off.
Yeah, right.
Holy crap.
Aww.
Hey, Anastasia, turn down the lights in here. Kretschmer just took his hat off. My Lord.
That's how you never see me without a hat on. People are like... You know what's funny is the other day at work, I like took my hat off. I was hot, and I like waved it back, and the girls are like, "You just hat fished me." I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
That happens all the time.
Hat-fished?
Oh, yeah.
You've heard that word before?
Oh, I've used that word before.
Like someone's like really handsome, and then they take their hat off,
yeah.
And you're like,
"What?
They're bald."
Yeah, we're thinking
their heads shaped really weird.
We all started laughing so hard.
Oh my gosh, that
holy
is awesome.
Smokes.
Oh yeah, we think they're all Fabio and everything, and all of a sudden, they're not.
Yeah.
They're Mr. Clean.
I don't know. I don't know what you've done, but you don't have a wrinkle on your face yet, and you're almost as old as me now. You're catching up to me, I think.
I didn't know they, you know, dirt's pretty old, Joel.
Wow. You know what? I'm glad your wife. I'm going to spare you because your wife's not here. But if your wife was here, then I would dig in. So one of the first people, you were literally one of the first people to ever take me hunting.
Yeah.
But I feel like you were way into bird hunting more when you were younger.
Yeah.
What happened?
It's called whitetails. Number one, and children, little kids.
I tell people, Ian and I were talking about this in the field the other day. I feel like what happens to people, not everybody, there are two progressions in hunting. One is the progression from just wanting to get the harvest at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
just wanting to kill something.
Yep.
because that is extremely satisfying. Then you make something to eat out of it, and you don't care how it tastes. You just want to eat it, and you feel very accomplished from doing that. I mean, Danielle, would you, you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
I feel like the first stage is the trophy. You want to get the trophy, you want to get the bands, and then you progress until to the appreciation mode more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because when I first started, I'm like, yes, I got to get a band. I got to get a band. I have to get piles. I have to get piles. But now I'm just like, well, I can't get piles, so I'm just going to go for it.
It's like a mountain, right? You just want to do it. You want to get out there, and then you want to get to the next level. And then people are like, what are these metal things? They're like, oh, you know, I show up next to Ian, and Ian's got a lanyard full of...
he has almost as many as me, thank you.
And, well, good. I mean, but then there's me who's been doing it
for...
like
10.
Literally, since I've been 12 or 13 with my dad, I'm 40 now, and I literally have probably four. And it's just like, then the next guy goes out his first day, and they blast four of them. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's just, that's what happens. But now... you know, like you said, the small groups, I was used to that big group number. I'd rather go 2-3 guys call me and go, hey, 100%. let's go. And even if you don't kill your 6 or 8 or whatever, but it's just.
You leave with a sore stomach because you've been laughing so hard.
Right.
That is the untold story about the amazingness of Waterfall. And I was going to say the second iteration of hunting is so you go from wanting to kill everything at first, and then you start appreciating it, and you appreciate the time out there as much as the hunt, and as much, if not more, than the kill. And then the second iteration that some people go is they move into more of the silent hunting sports, move into the whitetail hunting, move into, you know, the... you know, taking a kayak by themselves to get out there. You know, they can go take that sideways banana. You'll never get me in one, but they'll go on that and try to hunt.
See, I'm definitely at that stage.
I think you are at that stage, Danielle.
Because this whole entire season, well, minus two hunts or one hunt with Bill, but otherwise it's just been me and Bandit the whole entire time. Like, I'm in the stage of just, I don't want to be around anybody. Just go away.
There's something to be said for that. You know, I'm getting up early every day with kids and work and everything else. And then Saturday rolls around. If the weather's not great, I'm so jacked up for this weekend.
Yeah.
One, because the cold front.
Yep.
Two, it's the youth hunt.
Yes.
Which we should talk about a little bit. But my 15-year-old, this is last year.
Hey, let's not ruin the show with substance, so, Mike, okay?
Yeah. I mean, right. So I tried to get him to come with me and talk about it a little bit, but he's like, no. And I was like, one of these days. But my Finley, remember when we talked about turkeys the last time? She showed a lot of interest. I'm like, you could come on and tell your story. Yes. She's like, can I?
You should have brought her.
We'll have to bring her with one time.
We love new hunters.
Right.
But I think that is, I think you're hitting on what some of the development, the evolution of a hunter is.
100%.
And the evolution, and many, and Ian and I, we've evolved as hunters, but we still have that drive and that passion for birds.
Right.
I love whitetail hunting. When people say, oh, you don't even whitetail hunt. I can't tell you how many times if I don't have a busy field, I'll sit 2 hours in the morning and hunt deer. I'll sit 2 hours in the evening and hunt deer.
But we have learned through the show that from 11 to like 3 is prime time for deer.
Yes, yeah.
Like everyone keeps saying that. Now I'm just like, I don't have to wake up now.
Now you can start sitting
this week. This weekend will be good for it.
So I think what happens is, and you know, we see it a lot in the waterfowl industry. We see people disappear from waterfowl and become whitetail hunters. But then those who stay in waterfowl end up being the more hardcore waterfowlers like Ian and me. And we're and John Whitmore, frankly. And God dang it, we're up against a break already.
I don't know how this happens. Every single time.
Take us to the break, Danielle.
Oh, you're listening to Raised in Wisco. Give us a call at 844-967-2789.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More than 500 people have been confirmed dead in Israel as the Hamas attack continues. IDF Colonel Jonathan Conricus tells ABC,
there are still attacks by Hamas terrorists that are trying to approach the fence, trying to get into Israel, trying to swim or to use boats and beach into Israel.
There are over 100 people being held captive by Hamas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said more U.S. assistance could be on the way. There are questions, though, about what Congress could do since there's no Speaker of the House. When it comes to choosing a new speaker, Republican Ken Buck of Colorado says,
it's better to play out in private where the cameras aren't on and we don't have people trying to get attention over certain issues than it is going out on the floor and having a series of debates.
No winner in the Powerball means the jackpot for Monday will be worth more than $1.5 billion. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did I stump you?
Not Tracy Chapman.
No, it's
a country singer.
Yeah.
It's Luke Combs,
Fast Car.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I need to throw a country song in there.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Raised in Wisconsin, 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Rebroadcast on Saturdays as part of the Cheese Wedge.
Woo!
That's right. Raised in Wisco kicks off the Cheese Wedge, and then Charlie Barron's on the Cripecast.
Oh, Joel, do you mean the Sharp Cheddar Weekends?
The Sharp Cheddar Weekends. They changed the name of it, evidently. Wasn't it the Cheese Wedge?
No. It's always been Sharp Cheddar Weekends, my
sharp
friend.
Sharp Cheddar Weekends?
I was just rolling with it.
Okay.
Too much cheese.
I mean the Sharp Cheddar Weekends.
Woo!
Featuring Raised in Wisco, followed by the Cripes Cast with Charlie Barron's, who's almost as funny as this show.
Almost.
Almost. And then Gilbert Brown. Gilbert Brown's show Under the Helmet, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Are you, Danielle, are you too young to remember the Gilbert Burger at Burger King?
Yes, because I don't.
Do you remember
eat the
at
Burger
Kretschmer?
King?
Oh, yeah.
Ian, Paige, you, guys you don't remember the Gilbert Burger, do you?
What was this? I had the cheese curd burger.
I was
yesterday.
Just gonna say about the Culver's cheese curd burgers.
That was
back out.
Delicious. Yeah.
I don't know if I could tackle that thing though.
Oh, I
did.
Oh,
was it good?
Did
I had
you
it
make
last
the
night.
Pun on purpose?
No.
That was like
oh,
an
that,
Ian.
Yeah,
that,
I don't know if I could
tackle.
Good
just
cat.
Say yes. Good
I don't
catch.
Know if I could tackle the,
out of Ian's playbook.
Yeah. I don't know if I could tackle the Gilbert burger. What was what? The Gilbert burger?
It was just monstrous.
Like monstrous.
Triple patty back then. Now it's like common to have a triple patty burger.
Yeah, I think that is part of the reason. It's not my fault I'm fat. It's society.
Yeah, yeah.
Ian, stop laughing. Ian really Ian laughed harder at that than anything else. I'm glad I'm so good at self-deprecation. I don't mind.
What?
But Kretschmer, you were one of the people who first got me into hunting. Was my style, was I different then compared to now? I mean, what was your perception at the time?
Wait, please hold. The Gilbert Burger, the triple Whopper with extra everything, cut in half with extra cheese, no pickles. Well, you lost me at no pickles.
Yeah.
You need extra pickles.
Gotta have pickles.
I think I would add. I think I would have the Gilbert Burger with extra pickles.
Yeah, I
absolutely
concur.
I had a big burger tonight for dinner. My kid wanted two. I was like, dude, these are half pound burgers. You're not eating two of these.
Did you make them?
Yeah.
Were they venison burgers?
No,
or, no they were. They
actually,
were the beef company you work
yes.
for. Yes.
Yep.
You. So you're
yep.
you're
nice.
Spending your time.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice. Yes.
Not the yep. tool place.
No. So is the motto, this meat is nice.
You should sell your burgers at Nice. Yes.
The tool place.
Yes. You should go out in front of Nice.
Well, yes. They have grills there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This doesn't totally not make sense.
You could
sense.
Use like Milwaukee tool to like grind it all up, right? Yeah. Figure that
you,
out.
You
just,
can
like,
figure that
done.
Out.
By use.
I'll bet you there's
let's
a TikTok
it.
Somewhere where
yeah.
they're using a heavy duty
right.
tool to
and
grind
it. And a paint mixer or something.
I guarantee
the
I think a paint. I think a paint mixer would work great.
Right, absolutely would.
You could make a giant. You could make the world's largest meatloaf.
You could at least make brats.
Yeah, the yeah. meatloaf.
You could make brats.
Yeah.
Colt Christofferson is here.
Hello,
Colt. Let's talk to you for a minute because I'm a little. I have to be honest. I'm a little jealous. In the last month, when we've been out here busting our humps to kill geese and now ducks and turkeys and deer. You shot like a 170-inch deer, didn't you?
You've been crushing it.
Yeah, I don't have a official score yet, but 170 to 180 is where he's going to land.
Yeah, that oof. Thing's monstrous.
And during break, he was telling me about how he made venison backstraps on the cast iron with butter and garlic and pepper, and then he made a red wine reduction sauce with
ooh,
beef
a
stocks.
A 10.
I'm all about the reductions.
Yeah.
Do you know the difference between a reduction and a sauce?
The spelling?
Oh, Danielle.
Educate us.
That's why Danielle's here. I appreciate that. Anastasia's just kind of like
what
shaking
is
her head in there. Well, technically speaking, a sauce has a roux as a base, as a flour and butter or flour and oil, and a reduction is just simmering it until it thickens,
right? Get rid of the water.
That's right. I'm a huge reduction fan.
Oh, I think you're a roux fan.
The sauce
well,
makes
I love
it.
Roux, too.
Like you're a roux.
I'm
I
both.
Shall call you roux.
Why? Because of my marsupial pouch?
You said it, Joel. No, no.
I can't help it. That was very quick-witted, wasn't it?
It was. You were ready for that
oh,
one.
Oh, my gosh. Because wasn't Rue a character on something at one point? Like a little miniature kangaroo?
Or Rue wasn't
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Rue.
The kangaroo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of depressing, like Led Zeppelin is depressing... Winnie
Eeyore?
The Pooh is kind of depressing.
Eeyore, you know what?
Colt, did you think Winnie the Pooh was a little depressing?
Yeah, he's a little sad.
It's only Eeyore that's sad.
No, Winnie the Pooh was kind of sad, too.
They're all
storms.
Sad.
They're always in storms.
They're in storms. Obama. They're always, like, you know, Winnie
they're
the Pooh
they're going through
just,
the emotions.
Like, Winnie the Pooh was the Charlie Brown of animals.
I'll agree.
Disagree with me. Yeah, everybody agrees.
Disagree.
Winnie the Pooh. Mom, did you like Winnie the Pooh?
Nope.
No, she wasn't a fan either.
You know what else is depressing?
My mom showed us stuff like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, The Muppets, all like funny, fun stuff. Hmm. Not that people shouldn't watch cartoons and get depressed.
No,
we're getting
shouldn't.
Way off topic. How did you shoot this awesome deer?
Well, what I'm doing in my
now look at it. People can't even talk when we talk about a serious subject.
What I'm doing in my professional career led me down this path, and I met some amazing people, and they invited me to this awesome ranch over in Michigan, and they wanted me to experience what they're offering and what their other customers experience, and I got the invite from Legends Ranch to come over and spend a few days with them, and got to see more big deer and experience more hospitality than I've ever experienced in my life. It was an amazing experience. It was amazing.
That's something to be said.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's crazy because it's like right around the corner. Michigan's not far. I went up there, and something that I'd actually love to see, I'd love to see Wisconsin allow the hunting of different types of cervids and, you know, ranch style hunting, you know, wild boars, things like that. I mean, you got to be careful with the wild boars because they can escape and become feral pigs. And that's nice that we don't have that problem in Wisconsin. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, some of the sheep, some of the goats that people want to hunt.
Absolutely.
Having them available here in a more controlled ranch style environment. And so I think that's exciting. And real quickly, you know, you work for a software company that helps these outfitters mm-hmm. cater to customers across the board. And I think you're ahead of the curve. And I think we're going to see this spread throughout the country because it really, there is a boutique end of hunting. I call it retail hunting. That's what I call it.
Retail. That makes sense.
I kind of just made that up, but I have friends, they're retail hunters, and that's fine. Not everybody is in the sloughs like, you know, Ian and me driving around every night trying to find geese in a field. Not everybody's like that. And the beauty of Wisconsin is we have the resources and we've got the land and the lakes and the water mm-hmm. to offer every type of hunter something.
Yep. Every type of hunter. Everything's out there for us right now.
One thing I want to add to that is that the place I was just at Legends Ranch, they're doing amazing things to spread conservation and bring in people that really could use this opportunity and expose them to hunting in a way that they could never be exposed otherwise.
They
got this wildlife center up there. There's thousands of mounts in there, and they sell beautiful artwork, and they use all the money that they raise through this place to bring in educational groups, students. They bus them in on field trips to show them this place, show them conservation, show them hunting. They do this Purple Heart hunt, and they bring in 8 Purple Heart recipients every single year, and they get to go hunt and have this experience, and it really exposes a lot of people that otherwise wouldn't be exposed to the hunting sport and gives them such a great, great feeling after.
And this is Legends Ranch?
Legends Ranch.
Is it up in the UP or?
No, it's Central Michigan. Beautiful, beautiful place. Amazing hospitality. Beautiful food. I left there feeling I wanted to do better. I wanted to treat people better. I wanted to spread conservation. I wanted to bring more people into this game. I wanted people to feel what I felt after leaving, and it made me want to continue doing what I'm doing and push forward and spread this so that other people could experience it.
And I think something that people don't realize is we've got a ton of places like that in Wisconsin already.
Absolutely.
And people don't realize that. I mean, the whitetails of Wisconsin have got hunting ranches for some of the most beautiful whitetail in the country right here in the state of Wisconsin. And those, you know, there are anti-hunters and people who are against it who are trying to close places like that down. And what they don't understand is that places, you know, places like Warren Valley, Milford Hills, hunting ranches for pheasant and upland game, folks like Scott Getzka, who runs his place up north in Wisconsin for whitetails and for pheasants. These are some of the biggest contributors to conservation in the state of Wisconsin, and people don't realize that.
And growing this community, exposing new people to it. You know, if you don't grow up in this world and nobody grabs you by the hand and says, try this, mm-hmm. the only opportunity you're ever going to have is to be lucky enough to experience it through one of these businesses,
right?
And get a great experience and take that other places in your life and grow.
Well, that's like you and me. We both started hunting late in life. You started,
right. I started 30, at age 38.
38, and I started at 24, 25. Yeah. Like somebody needed to be like, hey, let me show you this. And I was like, developed so from then.
My boss was actually with me. He came, the primary owner of Romeo Bravo Software. He was invited along to go to Legends Ranch. He shot his first animal. And I was with him, and I got to experience it. And it was one of the most emotional things. And I saw the tears come down his face, and you could just feel him being brought into a community that, you mm-hmm. know, he's serving, but now he can feel it and serve it in such a deeper, better way.
That is still to this day the most exciting thing to me. And Kretschmer, you had to have a little bit of that kind of feeling the first time we hunted together, because when I was 38 years old, I didn't know my rear end from apple butter. My dad used to say that, except he used the word ass instead of rear end. But that's not a banned word. No, we're good. Yeah. We're cool with ass.
He
Anastasia said we can say ass.
The thing with that is, I've been doing it since I've been 12, 13, bow hunting my first animal. Like, I sat there and cried just because, I mean, the way it went down. But it opened me to this whole experience. And I would say I've shot in a lot of big deer, and I've been on some amazing waterfowl hunts where you do the work and it's like, okay, Joel, your turn. Okay, Ian, your turn. Like, where you don't all have to go guns blazing. Mm-hmm. Those are the memorable hunts. But my two, probably most, are with my kids. I still get emotional, as you can tell, but they get so excited, and I'm literally crying. With Brady, we have it on film on that little bit of an online show that I did for a while. And Ryan, who filmed it, he looked at me after and he goes, I've never seen such raw emotion. And he's filmed with Babe Winkleman and some of these really big name outdoor guys. And he's like, that's the most real thing I just ever seen. And I was because that level of the first time of somebody else doing it, or you're putting in all the work to take somebody new and they do it and they're like, what did I just do? And he's like,
do you ever notice that when someone gets their first kill, when you're with them, they don't jump up and down, start screaming. The first thing they do is look at you because they want to confirm
that just happened.
Yeah.
Like, they look at you like whoever you take, there's no better feeling in the world. And you say, you did it. You got it. It all came together. The plan came together. And you know, that's something that one of the reasons I can't stand criticism of ranch hunting, because for many people, adults want a controlled environment for their child. Someone wants a controlled environment for their, someone who's new to hunting. There was somebody with a disability. They want a controlled environment. Yeah. You still have every aspect of that hunt. And maybe you hunt on a ranch style the first 10 times. Maybe you hunt, you know, off a ranch and you search for those geese and ducks and you hunt that way. And then later in life, you start ranch style hunting because you don't have the physical ability to do the wild, all wild hunts. There is such a place for it in our spectrum of conservation.
There's something really real about hunting, right? It's just like we were born this way. This is how we live for so many years, so many millennia. And to be able to experience that for people that don't have the capability to buy all the gear and go out and make it happen to themselves, it's something very, very special and something that it's just amazing to share with other people.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
The point is, like, I know we're getting close here, but
20 seconds, give it to me.
It doesn't have to cost $20,000. You can go to a ranch and go shoot a doe. You can go shoot a goat. Yes.
Most of that's donated. They do that, you know, as
especially if you're a kid.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. You're listening to our show on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Born and raised here, folks. That's probably why it's called Raised in Wisconsin, I would imagine.
Weird. What a clink-a-dink.
I had somebody ask me the other day, like, hey, I'm listening to your show. Where did you grow up? I'm like, I was raised in Wisco.
South Texas.
South Texas. Hey, I'm going to start bringing out accents on this show. I love doing accents.
Oh, no. I hate.
No. Anastasia's like, no, don't
no, no,
do
no,
accents.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
You can't. There's some accents you can't do anymore.
There are no accents you can do, though. That's the difference. Whoa. And I don't mean skill.
Ooh.
I mean permission.
Wait, hold on.
I mean permission.
I can't do a Southern accent even?
That's one of the seven. What, East Coast? Was that the last one you said?
No, yeah, like East Coast, Southern. Oh. I can't do a Southern British accent. I couldn't get away with
just,
that.
Just be careful, Joel.
There's too much political correctness. Now
that's
we can't
not
even
what
be
it
fun.
Is.
It, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't even get what? You know, we went into the break talking about the magic of taking people hunting, and whether that's on a ranch-style hunt, whether that's in the wild. I don't think it matters, but the lesson and the progression of hunting is something that we talk about quite a bit, but I also think it's something that actually really matters.
You know what also is kind of funny about that is you're talking about the different styles of hunting, correct?
Yes.
So I started with literally garbage bags for goose decoys in the field before I'd go to
garbage
school.
Garbage bags?
Like, what? Black garbage bags in the field.
It worked.
It worked. It worked. I'm telling
Ian,
you.
Ian, you think we should try that?
No, you can't bring
We're
it
We're out there with our fully flocked,
yes,
full
that's
body.
The problem now. So
you know, they weigh like 700 pounds
each. It's evolved so much that you can't get away with that anymore,
well,
right?
But you kind of can do it with snuggies.
Ian has to bring, Ian actually brings the paddles along because I'm hauling those decoys out and I'm like, and by the time we get out.
It might work opening day.
Yeah.
5 minutes in.
Maybe you get one crack at them, but that's about it.
Early season.
But
what were you going to say about that?
One thing, though, is I think it's just absolutely amazing, the sport of waterfowling and how much it's evolved. Because I remember when I was a kid, I was going out at 9, not hunting, just spectating. And then I started hunting when I was 10.
And you just turned 16, right?
Yeah.
For
the record, I'm 22 years old.
He's officially a teenager.
He's young, maybe.
Here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing. When Ian talks about when he first started hunting, it's still way after I started hunting. I lose that fact sometimes because I started when I was 38. And I understand, guys, I only look like a mid-30s young man. But yeah. I'm actually 52, so I've technically been hunting several years before Ian started. But he's 22 now, and he's been hunting since he was 9. What are you thinking about Kretschmer? You got a look of you're perplexed.
An hour is not long enough.
Well, move the mic over yourself and make your point.
No, I'm just going to say, I wanted to bring back the lodge hunting, the poor man's hunting, the guy that can go spend $2,000 on goose decoys. You got to remember, there's guided hunts as well, right? So you can pay somebody to do the outdoor wild side of it versus a ranch, but those still cost money. So at what point is the lodge mentality has got to get out of the hunting industry? It's like he shot a 170-inch deer in a lodge or in a resort. That, great for him, right?
100%.
But now that's people look at that as a bad thing in a certain way because it's considered high fence. But what's the difference between that and a guy going with a guide that is out in the woods in the public?
Finding the animals and putting you on them.
And putting you on for the same amount of money, 15, 18 grand, and you're roughing it.
There is no difference.
Correct. That's my point.
But and I'm
the difference
gonna,
is accessibility and how people that normally couldn't get to those places way out in the wild. And
Yes, no question.
And the difference is that these places that are these businesses, these ranches, these established places and what they can do to provide contributions to the hunting industry, whether that's hunters education programs, exposing new hunters,
no doubt,
and raise fundraising issues, and it contributes a lot.
The bottom line is everything has its place.
Everything.
And so what irritates me beyond belief, it just irritates the heck out of me, is why we try to stop any of it. Anybody out there, look, thank goodness we're past the whole vegan phase.
It was a phase
because now everybody knows protein's one of the healthiest things you can put in your body. So if you're out there and you can look me in the eye and tell me you don't eat a hamburger, fine. Maybe you don't. But if you eat a hamburger, you should strongly support any type of hunting from a ranch down to backyard squirrel hunting. You should support each and every second of it, because if you're getting your protein source and taking it from the field or the woods to the table, you are assuming much more responsibility than the person who goes and buys a package of meat. There is nothing wrong with buying a package of meat. Mm-mm. And God love our farmers for supplying it, because without them, we wouldn't exist. No doubt about it.
The other thing I want to add about the ranch hunting too is that you have this magical ability in the way that they present this experience to you, and tons of it is donated, and tons of it they do for just free.
Oh, for sure.
These doe hunts, and they use it for their doe management. But to take these people that may be struggling, and even it's such a healthy drug, even if it's depression or anything, they bring these people in, they
and
treat
what they
you,
do for veterans.
Yeah, and veterans, mm-hmm. They bring you in, they treat you like gold, you leave feeling like $1 million, and it's
Africa,
better than any drug you could ever take.
In Africa, for example, they use the meat to feed the local communities, and a lot of the money is raised to put in water systems, you know, to bring clean water to
people. I cannot wait to go to Africa with the whole group. I'm so pumped for this.
It's the greatest thing on earth.
But back to the whole, like, spending money on a resort or anything like that, I go out with no decoys, with my dog and my kayak.
And like, you're getting a complete valuable experience.
You just go pass shooting and all that kind of stuff. Like, they have all these wetlands for us to go publicly
and
open to everybody.
And guess who supports and is the reason for all of it? The hunters, the Pittman Robertson funds, the money that we spend buying bullets allows the sideways banana, boaters to be out there, and the people to climb the mountains, and the people to camp at Wisconsin campsites. Everything that outdoors folks do is the reason the state of Wisconsin has the conservation, has the facilities, has the outdoors we have. If it were not for people who work their tail off to enjoy the outdoors, hunting, fishing, kayaking, biking, hiking,
camping,
rock climbing, camping,
all the things,
we would not have the resources we have. And that's why I guess I get so frustrated with people who are critical of any of those aspects. Because if you're critical of any of those aspects, I think that's a holier-than-thou attitude that should not exist in the state of Wisconsin. Because unless you are literally a person who doesn't eat a hamburger, then you don't have a right to say that. And that's how fast the show went. That was an awesome show. I laughed my butt off.
Yep.
We got good material. We talked about taking new hunters out, the great resources in Wisconsin, top to bottom. And best of all, I've got old friends in the studio with me. I've hunted with Danielle for more than a decade. Colt and I have known each other forever. Kretschmer, one of the first people I took out.
Woo.
Ian Kittrell, one Paige, of my tightest guys mom, in the hunting industry. His girlfriend, Paige, which I think it's going well. We'll see you next week.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark.